إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن الخير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل دلالة في النار. The khutbah today is based upon a khutbah which I heard online by Ustad Numan Ali Khan. A fantastic khutbah. I urge the brothers and sisters to go back and listen to the original. I just hope I can do some justice to the ayats of Allah. But I found it fascinating when I listened to it, and I really felt that it would be beneficial to the brothers and sisters also. As we know in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us insights of the Day of Judgment, and He gives us insights of conversations which will occur between various groups of people. And by and large, it's conversations between the believers and the disbelievers. And this is something which is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He gives us a foresight. He's almost giving us a window into the future to say that this is what is going to happen. So mankind, decide which group you wish to be in. But one of these conversations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Hadid is a conversation between the believers and the hypocrites. Those people who with their mouths claimed to be believers, even with their actions they claimed to be believers, but in their hearts there was disbelief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Baqarah, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they tried to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the believers, but they only managed to fool themselves. And this really comes to fruition. This deceit which is thrown back upon them really comes to fruition on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, firstly He mentions that the believing men and the believing women will walk forward with light emanating in front of them and from their right sides. And they will enter a garden and let me just read it for you. On that day you shall see the believing men and believing women, their light running forward before them and by their right hands. Glad tidings for you this day, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever. Truly this is a great success. This light, because on that day there will be darkness, and the light will be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believing men and the believing women to light their way. Literally to light their way, their paths to their destinations. As for everyone else, they will be in complete darkness. They will have no light by which to travel. They will have no light by which to move. It will only be the believing men and the believing women who will be given light. And even this light which is given is in accordance to our iman. It is in accordance to our righteous actions. It is in accordance to our ikhlas, our sincerity to Allah and His Messenger and to the Deen. Depending upon how we live our life now will be dependent upon the amount of light we receive on the Day of Judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يوم يقول المنافقون والمنافقات للذين آمنوا ظرون نقتبس من نوركم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on that day the hypocrite men and the hypocrite women will say to those who believe. So this is a conversation. So two groups of people, the believing men and the believing women, traveling with this light which has been given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, traveling in this death towards their destination. And another group, the hypocrite, men and the women, in complete darkness, unable to see anything, but in the distance they see light. Not even people, they see light under which they see some shadows. So they call out to the believing men and the believing women, and they say, wait, wait for us, so that we may borrow some of your light. That we may borrow some of your light by which we too can travel. And you can imagine the fear, both parties, even the believers, will be fearful on that day. They won't want to hang around. Everyone will be on that day, nafsi, nafsi, myself, myself. That day, the mother will abandon her son. The friend will abandon the friend. Family members will abandon each other because everyone will be too concerned about themselves. So this group of hypocrites calling to the believers, wait for us, let us borrow some of your light. Almost like in the olden days where you would light your torch by sticking it into the torch, into the fire of another torch. Almost like that, let me borrow your light so that I may find my way. I may have my own light. And then, and like I mentioned, this light is the light that we are given in this life. It is the light from our righteous actions, our iman, our ikhlas, our sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to build our light now, because we will not be given another chance to make this light. This is the light by which we make our light in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives the response of the believers to the hypocrites. The believer says, Qila, Qila rji'u, go back. Waraakum, behind you. Faltamisu nura, and seek your own light. Look for your own light. Don't come asking for our light. Go back. It's almost making fun, because where are they going to go back to? The way to get light in that life is righteous actions in this life. So it's almost like the believers are telling the hypocrites, go back to this life. Find your iman. Find your righteous actions. Be sincere to Allah and His Messenger, and that will give you light. So go back and find your own light. We are not giving you any light on this day. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَضُرِبَ بَيْنُهُمْ بِسُرٍّ لَهُ بَابٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drops a wall between them, بَابٌ, and there is a door. There is a door in the interior of this wall. So on one side you have the believers, and on the other side you have the hypocrites. And there is a door in the wall, and this door is facing the believers. So the only way to open this door, the only way to allow people in and out, is on the side of the believers. So a huge wall. Now the hypocrites are completely blocked from the believers. Completely unable to even see them. No light now. Complete darkness they are in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in it, on one side is rahmah, mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but on its exterior is the azab, is the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So punishment of the hellfire, and the reward and the rahmah of paradise. Now the hypocrites say, but wait! In the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the next conversation, or the next statement of the hypocrites, and I want people to pay attention. Because really this summarizes the reason so many fall from grace. Or so many people find themselves losing their iman every so often. More and more, unfortunately. I get emails, I get messages, I get texts saying, help so and so. You know, it's from organizations. Help the da'wah, so and so is leaving Islam. Fatima has left Islam. Muhammad has left Islam. And these are example people. They give their stories as to why they left Islam. And you know, help the da'wah, help teach the people and so on and so forth. And really this conversation which occurs now really gives us the key as to why people leave their deen and lose their iman. So the hypocrites say, were we not with you in this life? Did we not live amongst you? Did we not pray alongside you? Did we not marry among you? Did we not work amongst each other? Were we not part of the community? Were we not with you? So the hypocrites are saying, but wait, we don't understand. We were with you in this life, so how is it we're not with you now? How is it we don't have light now? How is it we are separated now? The believers are the ones who give the response. They say, yes, bala, yes, indeed, you are with us. But وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ But you led yourselves into temptation. You led yourselves into temptation. You put yourselves into situations, into places that you should never have been in. You chose to follow your desires knowing full well that Allah and His Messenger have warned you, have made it forbidden for you to choose the path that you are walking upon now. So you led yourself, no one forced you. You chose friends. Now, one of the things I try to do, especially at Royal Holloway and at University of Surrey, at the beginning of each year, academic year, around October, I normally try to give an introduction to my advice to new students. Having been a student myself many, many years ago, just advice as to what we should be doing, the pitfalls and the traps out there for the unwary, especially for young brothers and sisters who are away from their homes, possibly for the first time, with no one watching over them. But this year I decided not to do that, mainly because I didn't want to bore the people who have heard it many, many times. And I was thinking of something else. And then when I heard this, I thought this would be a good opportunity to give this talk, because this really, when you're leading yourselves into temptation, part of this is choosing company. Choosing the wrong type of company. Choosing those people rather than those who will remind you of Allah and His Messenger. You chose friends for yourselves who were far from Allah and His Messenger. Even though their names may have been Abdullah, Fatima, Muhammad, even though they may have carried out the semblance of Islam, they were far removed from Islam. And you chose to be amongst them. You chose to allow their doubts and their suspicions to enter into your heart. You allowed their desires to become your desires. So this is the first step, that you led yourselves into temptation. You chose friends whose only aim and purpose in life was an enjoyment for a while, and not the enjoyment of Allah and the last day. They were those people who didn't believe in a reckoning. They were those who mocked the believers. And we all know those types of people. Even, unfortunately, from amongst the Muslim community, We may even have an uncle or an auntie who laugh.
Molvi ban gaya dari ke saath, you know,
oh, he's become a molvi, he's become an imam with the beard. Oh, who's going to marry you when you're wearing hijab? This hijab was for red-hotted Arabs who lived centuries ago, not for us now. Mocking Islam, mocking the Muslims. We may have those people, but we chose to sit amongst them. We chose to reside amongst them. Can somebody, there's a lady out there, I don't know if she needs help to get out. Can somebody see if she needs assistance? So you chose yourselves to be amongst them. And your God became your lusts and your desires. So this is the first step, that you led yourselves into temptation. وَتَرَبَّسْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ. And you awaited and you doubted. There's different tafsirs on this ayah. One of them is you waited the destruction of the Muslims. And the other one is you procrastinated. You postponed. You kept on putting off your righteous deed. You kept on putting off correcting yourself. You kept on putting off your istighfar. You kept on putting off your repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking, I have time. Many of us, especially when we're young, we think we're going to live forever. And we think, now is the time for us to enjoy ourselves when we're young. When I'm old, when I'm approaching 50, 60, I will make amends then. Some of us think, you know what, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know the company that I'm keeping is wrong. I know I should never have signed up to the rape party. I should never have signed up to the Asian society. I should never have signed up to this and that society. But you know what? They're friends of mine now. I feel really bad letting them down. They're coming round tonight to pick me up and we're going to go out here and we're going to go out there. I'll tell them next week that, you know what, I can't do it. Or you know what, I'll tell them next term. Next term, I'm going to change myself. You know what, Ramadan is only round the corner. It's another 10 months away. When Ramadan comes, I'll be a new Muslim. And so life goes on like this. Putting off, putting off, putting off. It's almost like we play and plan against Allah. And it is always Allah's plan which will come into fruition. We almost plan against Allah that, you know what, I will live definitely until I'm 50, 60, then I will make amends, then I will go on Hajj, then I will come back, be completely forgiven, and then everything will be okay when I die. And how many of us are caught between that? How many of us die before we get to those ages? And how many of us die well before we even see the next Ramadan? So, you procrastinate. You put off, knowing full well. So firstly, you put yourself into temptation. You have put yourself into areas and amongst friends, amongst people that you should never have put yourself into. Secondly, you procrastinated. Instead of making amends, instead of changing immediately, you procrastinated. That's why, as young people, we always think that nothing can harm us, nothing can hurt us, we're going to live forever. That is why one of the categories of people who will be under the shade of Allah, under the shade of His throne, on the Day of Judgment, is the young man attached to the masjid. Is the young man who is attached to the deen. Because when you're young, your desires are so strong, your hormones are so rampant in you, that you want to do everything. You want to experience everything. You know this phrase, YOLO, you only live once. And we only live once, we need to experience life to the max. The Muslim may add YOLO, but when I'm older, I'll settle down. But how many of us don't get to be older? How many of us does the qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come upon us before we can even make amends or even start to make amends? And that is why as a young man who is who is attached to the masjid, who is attached to Allah and His Messenger, he, this category of person, will be under the shade of the throne of Allah, when there will be no shade on that day except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's difficult, it's a challenge, especially in a society that we live in today, right? The hedonistic society that we live in today, it's all about fulfilling one's desires. Whatever you feel is right, you should do, as long as you don't hurt anyone, as long as you're not harming anyone, as long as they're two adults or more adults, possibly, as long as they're consenting, it's no problem. Consenting adults, you can do whatever you want. This is the society that we live in today. Completely upside down. Completely back to front. So, you led yourself into temptation and you procrastinated and you doubted. وَرْتَبْتُمْ You doubted. You doubted that there would ever be a day of reckoning. You doubted that you would ever stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be taken to account. Because your questioning, your reasoning was, you know what? I only want to have fun. I only want to enjoy myself. But you know what? This deen, this religion keeps telling me that I can't. This religion keeps telling me this is bad for me, that is bad for me, this is haram, and I don't know, I don't feel happy anymore. So your friend will come to you and say, you know what? Religion, forget religion. Do what makes you happy. So then that's the third thing. You start to take off the mantle of your religion. You start to dismantle it bit by bit. And that's why the scholars have said that doubts and suspicions in the religion that a person has are more dangerous than the sins that they commit. Because when you commit a sin and you know it's a sin, what do? You make istighfar. You quickly repent to Allah. But as doubts and suspicions enter into your heart, and one of the problems is we don't know our own capacity, right? We don't know who we are. We don't know our strengths and our weaknesses. We live in a society where everyone is given an equal voice. Everyone is believed to be thinking you're all equal. You're equal in knowledge and you're equal in your space in society. Wallahi, that's not true. We know that's not true. But that's what we're made to believe. And you're made to believe that, you know, why don't you listen to his argument? Why don't you read his argument? And I have known, or I've heard of brothers, practicing brothers, five times a day masjid brothers, reciting Quran brothers, big bearded brothers, who have picked up books of the atheists, thinking, no problem, I'm going to read this book and I'm going to mash him, I'm going to mash the argument. And I'll show him, and I'll tell the brothers what's wrong with his argument. And next thing, you know what, where is he? He's normally here for Fajr. He's normally in the first row. And you know, he's not here for Isha either. And you know, he always used to come and give charity regularly. I don't see him anymore. Where is he? And then you go and you find out that, you know what, I read that book. And you know what, I think he may have a point. This happens because we don't know ourselves. We put ourselves on a pedestal higher than we deserve. The fitna of today is so great that we are in preparation for what? This time is in the preparation for the Dajjal. Allah knows best. I personally feel that the Dajjal is close at hand. Allah knows best. I'm not saying it's tomorrow. I'm not saying it's in a year's time, 5 years' time, 10 years' time. But certainly the society we can see is working towards an Antichrist society. And one of the great fitness of that society, the Prophet ﷺ told us, of a man who will be strong in his deen. He will be strong in his deen, not weak. He will be firm in his deen. He will go out to debate with the Dajjal about Allah and His Messenger. He will go out to debate, thinking that I will prove to the Dajjal and I will prove to the world that he is false and Allah is true. And he will come back a disbeliever in Allah. This is the fitna of the people at the time. And we are close to that time. So it's only right to think that we will find people in similar situations. Because Because they don't know their own position. They don't know themselves. They have believed themselves to be in a position higher than they actually deserve. You think you're so intellectual because you go to university and you're studying. And some of these things that we're studying are completely destructive to the deen and the iman. Because they put so many doubts into your heart that you will almost find it impossible to find that somebody studying philosophy, and I'm making a general statement, so please, I don't want anyone coming to me that I'm studying philosophy, I'm praying five times a day. General ruling. You will find very few people studying philosophy who believe in God. Because the very study of philosophy is to challenge everything. Islam has no problem with challenges. Islam has no problem. Challenges from the very first ayah of the Quran. Allah has put challenges to mankind. But if you don't know how to interpret the challenges, if you don't know what makes a valid challenge in the first place, then it's very easy to become lost in this myriad of argumentation until you doubt your very own existence. Do I exist? Am I a reality? Or am I a figment of your imagination? Am I only here because you're here? Are you only here because I'm here? If a tree falls, does it make a sound? All this stupidity. Complete stupidity. Which they sit and they ponder and they pontificate over. And reality is passing them by. Reality is passing them by. And you doubt it. So when the Muslim starts to feel like this, and when he's being advised, do what makes you feel happy. Don't worry about religion. Put religion aside, and they start to think, you know what, that's right. It's this religion which is making me feel depressed. It's this religion that's making me feel unhappy. Forget religion. Forget religion. I'm not interested in religion. Why should I follow a religion which is always making me sad and unhappy? Why am I following a religion which doesn't let me do what I want to do? So they put religion. They don't even put it aside. They throw it out completely. They throw it out completely. So Bilal is now Bill. And Muhammad is now Mo. And Abdullah is now Abdul. And so slowly, we see leading yourself into temptation, procrastinating, then having doubts. And then, you know, when you lose this desire, when you lose this concept of Allah and standing before Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Mutaffifin, woe to those who defraud, who cheat. Do they not fear a standing before Allah? A great day. Do you not fear a standing before Allah on a great day? If you lose that feeling, then what happens? Brothers, you know, next time inshallah, just a piece of, the brothers have come early, if we can put some sort of curtains down here, because I think it's becoming very difficult for people to look at my lovely face. Anyway, I'm done. Astaghfirullah. So, when you lose that, fear of standing before Allah, your desires become your God. And then you lose the desire for paradise and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you no longer believe in a standing, and you no longer believe in a paradise, and you no longer believe in a God. And your fear for hellfire is lost. So can we now see, step by step by step, because of what we did to ourselves. And we'll see in the second part of the khutbah what the final deception is which leads these people into the situation that they find themselves in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And then and you are deceived by wishful thinking. Until the command of Allah came, until your death came, and the great deceiver, Shaitan, deceived you. This is why you find yourself on this day without any light. This is why you find yourself in the predicament that you find yourself in. Because you chose to live a life contrary to what Allah and His Messenger wanted for you. You made decisions contrary to what Allah and His Messenger wanted you to make. So now, there is no one to blame except for yourselves. There is no one to point the finger at except for yourselves. So this light that we so will desperately need on that day is the light we build today with our iman and our actions and our belief. And do not put yourselves into these situations. Do not put yourselves into temptations. Do not procrastinate and do not doubt. And do not find yourselves company which will lead you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you will regret. It's better to be sad and regretful now. See, while we have life, while we have breath, we're sad and we're regretful and we turn to Allah and Allah will forgive us. Be assuredly, believe 100% that if you turn to Allah with sincerity, He will forgive you and He will not mind what you have done. But if you don't, then Allah says that He will leave you. He will leave you in the path that you have chosen for yourself. He will not bring you to guidance. But rather you will be left without guidance until you meet Him, and then you will know that it's too late. That regret, the regret as we climb out of our graves, is too late. Regret now is good. Sadness now is good. But regret on that day is too late. So let us not be amongst those people who are fooled by the great deceiver, who are deceived by the great deceiver, until when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they find themselves that they have no light, they have no guidance, and they are in complete and utter ruin. A small announcement. I don't know if this is from a brother or sister, but it says, please pray for my mum, Sophia Khan, who has been diagnosed with cancer. Operation is next week. May Allah cure her and give her good health, inshallah. May Allah grant her shifa and afia. Just upon this note, and some advice that I would like to share, personal experience that I would like to share with his brother or sister who's passed on this note. Very recently, just this week, past 10 days, you know, it's easy for me, and please excuse me if I take up your time, just give me a couple of minutes. It's easy for me to stand up here, it's easy for anyone to stand up and give a talk about patience in face of adversity, in the face of trials and tribulations, where we haven't really faced great trials and adversity. I may be struggling financially, but alhamdulillah, my family are all well and everything is okay. But it's only when a calamity truly strikes you, a calamity such that you believe your heart is about to explode out of your chest for fear, that is when you truly know whether you have patience and belief and iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not think for one second that you are the only person being tested. There are people in the world, ones which we can visibly see what's happening around the world, others we don't know of, who are being tested in a similar vein to you. Islam and Allah do not promise you that you will not be tested. Rather, opposite, Allah says to us in the Quran, that do not think that you will simply say that we believe and that you will not be tested. But once you have said, La ilaha illallah, be prepared for tests. Be prepared for the tests in your loved ones, in your parents, in your children, in your wealth, in your livelihood, in your own life, in your own health. But who will be the successful ones? Those who are patient. When the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibrahim, was passing away in front of his eyes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to weep. And I think it was Abdurrahman ibn Auf who was with him. He said, oh, what is this, O Messenger of Allah? Because he believed that this was something which was forbidden. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, replied that this is not forbidden. Weeping is not forbidden. And then he said, oh Allah, verily the eyes weep, the eyes shed tears, and the heart feels sorrow. But this is it, my dear brothers and sisters. This is the crux. This determines whether you have patience or whether you don't have patience. Whether you accept the decree of Allah upon you and your family, or you don't accept the decree of Allah upon you and your family. This determines your iman or your kufr. But verily, the tongue, the mouth will not say anything which displeases you. We are sorrow. We feel sorrow. We will cry. But we will not say anything which displeases you. We are content with your decree upon us. Because we are your slaves and you are our loving, merciful master. And know that every pain and every heartache and every sorrow that you or your loved ones or the believers face, know full well, my dear brothers and sisters, wallahi, this is what brings the Muslim comfort. This is what causes the Muslims to put into perspective what is happening around the world. Know that wallahi, I swear by Allah, that every difficulty you face in your life, through it, Allah is wiping away your sins and raising your status if you remain patient. That is a promise binding upon Allah. That you remain patient. And I say this because just in the past 14 days, my daughter, my oldest daughter, believed that she had cancer. Now, she's not going to like me telling you all of this in public. But I cannot even begin to describe what the past 14 days was like for me. And I started to think of all the times I stood upon the minbar talking about patience in the term of adversity. And how we shouldn't do this and how we shouldn't do that. And when that hammer struck me, wallahi, it was difficult. And I hope that I never said anything which caused me to anger my Lord. But I can tell you, for almost 14 days, I never slept. There was not a moment that I was not thinking about my daughter and what the future held and what was going to happen and the fear I had of losing her. And when that happens, when that strikes, you truly understand that you are completely and utterly incapable. And it is only Allah who is able and full of power. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, we live on a knife edge. Every day is a knife edge. Do not think that you are secure from the decree of Allah. Every single day we live on a knife edge and we can slip like that. Everything can change as a matter of seconds. And it is because of the rahmah and the mercy of Allah that mankind is not punished in the manner that they are so deserving of. But for the believer, and I want the person who wrote this, I want them to know and be secure that whatever is decreed for their mother, and we pray that it is the best decree which brings about the best hope and the best solution. Whatever is decreed, remain patient, because I swear by Allah, you will find your reward with Allah. And when you find your reward with Allah, this will be forgotten. This will be irrelevant. Because the reward of Allah wipes away the pain and the suffering of the believers that they had in this life. So my dear brother or sister, whose mother is going through this trial and tribulation, we ask Allah to grant you himmah, to grant you patience, to grant you strength, and your family and your mother, and have good hope in meeting Allah. If the time comes, and the time will come for all of us, if the time comes where you are ready to meet Allah and you are happy to meet Him, wallahi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that Allah is happy with the one who is happy to meet Him. Allah is happy to meet the one who is happy to meet Him, and Allah is angry with the one who is angry to meet Him. And when Aisha radiallahu anha replied, "O Messenger of Allah, we all fear death." And he said, "This is not what I'm talking about. The believer, when the angel comes to take his soul and says, 'O righteous soul, come out to the pleasure of Allah,' and he wishes to meet Allah, Allah wishes to meet him. And the disbeliever, when the angel comes to take his soul and says, 'O wicked soul, come out to the anger of Allah and his wrath,' and he hates to meet Allah, Allah hates to meet him." Let us pray that when our time comes, that not only have we lived upon Islam, but we die upon Islam as well. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.